And just to remind you, there's a direct connection between God's presence and your well-being. Remember that when you're connected and living in contact with God, supernatural virtue flows into you. It literally is the oxygen for the believer. Just as much as you need oxygen naturally to breathe, you need the presence of God to have a life of well-being. And I get tickled to people when they hear the word prosperity. It's almost a knee-jerk reaction. But all it means is well-being in your life. Say well-being. Okay. How many of us better than sick being?
That's right.
Or unwell-being?
That's right.
It's just funny to me. People just are so religious about these things. In reality, it's good news.
Amen.
I've never understood why a Christian, a religious Christian, would get upset about good news. It just baffles imagination. I mean, but... I was listening one day to somebody, and the more he preached about God beating you up, the more the people cheered. God will run over, yes, amen. He'll pick you up, scoop you up, and do something with you. Not my God. My God's not the beating up type of God. My God is the lifting up type of God.
Right.
But, cheer about God beating you up, and get all depressed and mad when God, somebody tells you God wants well-being in your life. It just makes you scratch your head. Hallelujah. But the word speaks for itself. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Things going well with you in terms of your mind being renewed to the things of God, your will being yielded to Him and submitted to Him, and your emotions being under control. You don't run your life with your emotions. You experience your life with your emotions. Can I have an amen? John 10:10, Jesus came that you might have life. Contrast that with a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He came that you might have life, and life to the full, I've been more abundantly until it actually overflows. Now, who said that?
Jesus.
Who said that?
Jesus.
Who's trumpeting life?
Jesus.
Not just life one day, but life now. Who's the one doing that? Who's the preacher of life?
Jesus.
Who's the bringer of life?
Jesus.
Who's the resurrection of the life?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why would somebody oppose it? I don't know. But we spent a long time in Luke chapter 10 on the one thing. And it's so important to see Mary's example that when you're plugged into Him, that's when you're going to receive all that you need to tap into all the different dimensions of your prosperity or your well-being. When you're hooked up and living contact with Him, He can begin to impart things into you that help you address if there's something missing in terms of that well-being pie or that prosperity pie. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Matthew 6:33 tells us, and we're not fools about this, we know to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. Lisa Combs, which is Dodie and John Osteen's daughter, said it best. We believe that God prospers us and blesses us, but that will never satisfy you in terms of what you receive from God. God Himself is what satisfies you. And as you pursue God and go after Him, here's what she said, these blessings will follow and come upon you and overtake you. It's just automatic.
Amen.
Look at somebody and smile and say, you can't stop it. We would just simply say, we agree with that. God is what makes you satisfied, amen, victorious, abundant. God is what gives meaning to life. God's what brings the peace to your life. But you can't pursue God with all of His promises without these things coming up on you and overtaking you. You put God first, you go after Him, and all these things will come on you as well. And, it should be something where you just praise God about it. And some folks say, in the by and by, then God will do these things. No, He's interested in blessing His people in the nasty now.
Yep.
And sometimes it's nastier than other times. Amen. But He is faithful through it all. Is He not, church?
Yes.
We talked about how important it is to remember Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. He said, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, if you are in fact in right relationship with God, your right relationship with His word, what's going to happen is these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you. It's the same theme in Psalm 23. He sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Amen. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow you. Wherever you go, guess where the blessing is going to go? It will follow you all the days of your life. This is how this system works. You pursue God and the stuff will pursue you. Are you here today? And how many of you found that's absolutely true? The tithe in your life of sowing and giving is just a great example of that. When you put God first, what does He do? He comes through and He blesses and He takes care of you and does the supernatural. Jonathan Shuttlesworth has a video out there, and it's a great story. He's like third or fourth generation preacher. And his grandparents preached for like 50 years. And when they started out, they had nothing, you know, leave Bible college or whatever and go out on the streets and preach. And they lived in this house. And one morning she got up, his grandmother, and he was asking her, what's the greatest miracle that you ever had? She said, well, some people wouldn't think this is a great miracle, but to us, it was an outstanding miracle. And basically, we didn't have any breakfast, you know, anything for breakfast that morning. And so I was just about to make a, you know, a statement to the Lord and pray about that. But all of a sudden, she looks up and there's 21 chickens coming down the hill. Coming down the hill onto their property, going into their barn. They go into the barn and they all lay an egg. Then they get out of the barn and they go right back up the hill again. And she said, he said, my grandmother was just tremendously honest and full of integrity. And so she went to the neighbor's house and said, look, we don't have any chickens. These can't possibly be our eggs. And she said, my husband hates those chickens. They have never laid in one egg for him, and he hates those chickens. You know, I'm telling you, they're not our chickens. They're not our eggs. Well, we don't have any chickens, so I'm telling you, they must be your eggs and your chickens. Well, you know what? They're on your property. You can have them. And she said, every single time they ran low on eggs, down the chickens marched the hill, into their barn, laid the eggs, turned right around, and went back up again. Everybody say, he is faithful. Amen. And here's the part I love. They didn't have to build the chicken coop. They didn't have to feed the chickens. Didn't have to clean the chickens. Amen. The eggs just came to them. Come on, say, that's my God. And you know, that's what he does. You're faithful to do what you're told to do. You're walking with God. Amen. You're pursuing him. If he has to have the chickens march down the hill to feed you breakfast, that's what he'll do. Amen. Whatever he needs to march down the hill, glory to God. And a lot of people in this room, we've had stories just like that where it's make no sense in the natural what God did for you, but you did what his word said. You put him first and all these things came up on you and overtook you. Can I have a good amen today?
Amen.
Well, you know, in his presence, we can pick up on cues that lead us to well-being in an area of life where we may not be enjoying the most of his well-being. Remember this, a prosperous life, a well-being in every area of life is basically this, well-being in your spirit. Can I have an amen? That's your new birth, well-being in your mind. That's a mind that's renewed and basically a mind that is functioning at the highest level possible. We talk a lot about that when we talk about the glorification of the mind, where God wants you to function at a higher level. Well-being in your emotions, where your emotions are experienced, but they're not in control of your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Well-being in your decision-making, where you know what to do and you keep making good decisions. Look at somebody and say, your bad decisions are over. You're going to have good decisions from now on. You have well-being in your body where you have health and soundness and you're strong and you can do what you're called to do. God is interested in you living out your days in length of days and strength of days and able to accomplish what you're called to do. And I'm telling you, you crazy spirit-filled, born-again, tongue-talking believers are needed right now. More than ever in this land, he wants you healthy. Well-being in your occupation or your job. Well-being in your relationships. Is that important?
Yes.
Healthy, functional relationships. Amen. And well-being in your finances.
Amen.
And notice that finances was only one area.
Yeah.
But the average Christian, when they hear prosperity, then prosperity, you want them prosperity preachers? Yeah, I preach the whole totality of what prosperity is. All of what well-being is, whether religious people like that or not. I'll just tell you like it is. A lot of preachers won't touch this stuff, not because deep down they don't believe that God wants to bless. They're afraid of people. And as long as you're afraid of people, you will not preach what needs to be preached for that congregation to grow. And I've said it before, we will be held accountable explaining to God why we were too afraid to teach the people what they needed to hear, whether they needed to hear it.
That's it.
Amen. Say, I can't get delivered. I can't get people delivered until I've been delivered from people. I mean, I was there in Fort Worth. I heard Criffle talk about this directly. You know, all his life, he was still in bondage to the opinions of people. And I was like 63, 64 years old. And he says, finally, I'm free from trying to please people. That's quite a statement. But how many know it's a bondage that a lot of people have? A lot of people take that bondage into the grave. Well, you have one person to please and only one person to please. And that is the Lord. Can have an amen.
Amen.
So if religious people don't like what you are, amen, tough. But sometimes you need to hear something coming from the pulpit that you don't necessarily like in the flesh.
That's true. Yes. Amen.
If I haven't stomped all over your size 12s, I haven't done my job.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't need a pedicure. You need the toenails ripped clean off. Amen. That's what you need. Grab your attention. Well, I want to go to one that's nice and gentle. And it takes all kinds of communication. It takes all different diversity of approaches. You need to hear the word of God. And if we're too chicken to give it to you, what if somebody leaves if you preach that? They'll leave if you don't preach it. I mean, you don't have to infuse flakiness into American Christians.
No.
Preach it or don't preach it. I mean, that's not the basis of whether you should do something or not. Is this what God is saying? And he's trying to do something right here in our midst.
Oh, thank you.
That probably, I would say with great confidence, no one in this room has ever seen before. And we certainly haven't seen it here. The dynamic of the supernatural, the dynamic where God's trying to take us, like what Bill Winston said, you know, if we're going to go to a higher level, we have to eat at a higher level.
Yeah.
We have to expect revelation to come and not be afraid of it. Amen.
Amen.
And when it rubs your religion the wrong way, choose the revelation over your religion. If you're not unlearning things every single, you know, week of your Christian life, then something's not right. Now, some people grew up, all they knew was the Word and the Spirit-filled life and the Word of faith. That's all they've ever been taught. You know, they're blessed. So people like Timothy and like Tyler and others that have sat under that kind of ministry. But how many know they can still pick up nonsense out there?
Yeah.
And have to discipline their minds to understand what is true and discern what is true and get rid of what is not true. So this is so critical. I just want to say it boldly and plainly as I can. You having well-being in every area of your life is God's will.
Yes, it is.
That's the way it was in the garden before the fall. That's the way it was in the ministry of Jesus. And that's the way it is in heaven. Amen. And he taught us to pray, amen,
yes,
on earth
as
it is in heaven.
Yes.
Earth's condition is not God's dream for you. Heaven's reality is God's dream for you. And through faith, you pull that reality into this world. Amen.
Yes.
Not everything. You can't get everything done. He's going to bring everything to fruition. But I tell you what, we could be a lot further down the road than we are.
Yep.
And part of it is we just have to check that little religious spirit from trying to rise up and talk us out of stuff. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
See, my biggest problem, Pastor, is people trying to talk me out of stuff. No, your biggest problem is you trying to talk you out of stuff.
Yeah, man,
why can't you have well-being in every area of life? Well, that's not just realistic. There is nothing about the Word of God that is realistic. It is just simply this, truth.
That's it.
Truth you believe or truth that you reject, but it is truth. Can I have an amen? So we talked about things that induce, you know, prosperity. When you get into His presence, one of the things that you're going to receive is an impartation. In other words, power for you to prosper. Remember the Lord, the Scripture says, for He is the one that gives you power to get wealth, Deuteronomy 8. Understand that He's the one that gives you the power to actually perceive what you should do to fill in that void, whatever area of well-being is not, you know, currently where it needs to be. And you and I, have the right and the ability to go into His presence anytime and expect an impartation. You say, I don't have the strength for this, Lord. Guess what? There's an impartation for that. I've never dealt with this kind of situation before, Lord Jesus. Well, there's an impartation for that. I've never dealt with this kind of person before. There's an impartation for that. I've never had this kind of job before. There's an impartation for that. I never had this level of responsibility follow me before, Pastor. There's an impartation for that. Whatever you need, there's an impartation for it. There's strength for you in that connection with Him. Notice I said in that connection with Him to be imparted into your life to bring well-being in that particular area of life. Number two is direction. You know what to do. You know where to go. You know how to handle that situation because in that secret place, everybody say the secret place, in living contact, He's given you the kind of direction that you need. You don't ever have to be clueless about what to say, how to respond, what to do. But you're not going to get that just by paying attention to what everybody else has to say out there or taking a poll. It's in that vital union with God you're going to receive what you need in terms of decision making. You and I make bad decisions not because we're bad people, not because God doesn't love us, but because we're going and listening to all the wrong voices to try to make a decision. You know what? God has a 100% accuracy record.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. All you got to do is read the story of Job to find out that only 25% of Job's friends had a clue. Now, I listen to preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher say all of Job's friends got it wrong, then God had to come in there and rescue him. No, three of his friends got it wrong. One named Elihu got it right and basically tag teamed with God to straighten out Job. There are things in Job's life that didn't belong there. And how many understand once he got those things dealt with, there was restoration and he got the double for his trouble. Amen. You know, you just can't keep a righteous person down. Let the devil do his best. God will turn that thing around. That's right, Pastor. I'm just poor old Job. Well, don't put poor in front of Job. Glory to God. What decisions do I need to make? What do I need to do? He can give you the direction you need. Number three is correction. Shout it out. Correction is good. Tell you to start something. Tell you to stop something. I have a theory about vital union that if you're really growing in God, you are regularly receiving His commands, His correction in your life. When you've not been corrected in a while by the Lord, you need to think about where you are right now in terms of the quality of your walk with God. Oh, no, Pastor, it could be that I've just arrived. I promise you, you have not arrived to stand before God and say, I have need of no correction. You lying like a rug. Everybody in here needs correction. You are living in a natural place trying to be what you're created to be, spiritual, and all around you is all kinds of influence and temptation. We don't always handle things the right way.
That's true.
Amen?
Amen.
I caught a little bit of Dave Ramsey's testimony he's talking about. He went into an appliance store to get a washer and a dryer, and they tried to sell him an extended warranty. And he tells everybody that you listen to him, don't buy extended warranties. Those things are just a racket. You're just going to lose a bunch of money on that. And so he's explained to this salesman, we don't get extended warranties. And this guy looks at Dave Ramsey and says, well, Dave Ramsey does all the time. He's going, no, I don't think he does. Oh, yeah, we have the records. We can show you that he always gets extended warranties. Then he pulls out his driver's license. He says, I am Dave Ramsey. And his wife's like, well, we'll make you a great deal. Sorry about that. And she's like, come on, let's just go ahead and get something. We need to get something. He goes, no, I'm not buying anything from this store. If they gave me the whole store, I'm not getting this. He says, we better leave right now or they will have a Dave Ramsey story, a real one. Anybody here ever not react appropriately? Raise your hand if you've ever gotten to the flesh. Yesterday? Last year? It happens, doesn't it, church? In living contact, and you say, well, what's he doing? He's trying to take obstacles away that you and I in our foolishness and our karma say, man, we erect ourselves. And what he's able to do is point these things out to you, to pull out the things that are obstructions to you receiving God's best. And I'll tell you that when he's dealing with you about something and you won't correct it, you won't stop doing what he tells you to stop, or you won't start doing what he tells you to start, it's going to be hard for you to have well-being in every area of life. Something's going to suffer. Disobedience is one of the main reasons why we don't have full well-being in our lives. And we can religiously say to God, well, I'm doing everything just right, just perfect. You know, I don't understand why I don't have this. That's the wrong attitude. Amen. The right attitude is, search me, O God. What do I need to correct in my life? What's going on? And I'm going to stay on this topic Sunday morning about verbal prosperity, so you make sure you're here. One of the missing links in the child of God's life is having prosperity in the mouth.
Amen.
And it could just be that your biggest problem is that little hole right below your nose. Amen. Oh, no, I always speak scripturally. I always respond scripturally. Well, I'm happy for you. I don't believe you, but I'm happy for you. Amen? Come on, say, correction is good. Say why? Because he's removing obstructions to well-being in some area of your life. Protection is number four. When something's going on that's dangerous to your life, he's well able in that secret place to tell you, you know, stay away from that particular road, stay away from that particular situation, get away from that person. Don't get on that particular aircraft. We've had many stories of men of God who refused to get on certain aircraft. One aircraft that one of our ministers stayed off of, the whole thing went down. Everybody on that aircraft was killed. So I can't believe that God wouldn't talk to anybody else. You're making an assumption that God didn't talk to everybody else. My God is merciful and gracious and no respecter of persons. But if he tells you to do something, well, that'll just inconvenience me. Let me tell you, dying will inconvenience you more than rebooking your flight. Amen. Amen. Well, that's a longer way to go. Maybe a longer way to go, but if you're alive on the other end, that's a good thing, isn't it? A lot of trauma, a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, a lot of things happen because we miss some signals. Amen. Does God care about you? Amen. I said, does God care about you?
Yes.
Does God protect you?
Yes.
Do you believe that he is unleashing, amen, an angelic force to minister in your life? Do you not believe today that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those that are heirs of salvation, amen, and they hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord our God?
Yes.
Amen. He is a supernatural God, and he's able to protect you. But one of the ways he does that is by giving you insights in the secret place about what's going on in your life. And look at somebody and smile and say, make sure you pay attention. Look at them again and say, we'd like to hold on to you a lot longer. Cowboy church pastors, I'm not going to mention the name, but they were coming back on the West Coast, and they were told in their Piper aircraft that it does not handle icing very well. Do not fly over the Rocky Mountains back to where you're going, because that aircraft is not designed for that. And instead of just being patient and listening to the Holy Ghost, and even some men of God that spoke into their lives, they got in that plane, they went over the mountains, and it iced up and it crashed. And the only person that survived that family was the daughter who wasn't on the plane. Ministers, spirit-filled. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, word of faith people. Dead, not because of God, but because they have a missed signal.
Yeah.
Many of you are familiar with the name Miles Monroe. He actually took the Caribbean for Jesus, a graduate of Oral Roberts University and a great work in Bahamas. He was doing a conference, not on his island, but on an island next to it in the Bahamas. And there was a deep fog that rolled in, and they grounded everything. He got in his jet, and the pilot took off, and within just a few short seconds, he hit a crane on the runway area, and the thing went down. The man of God is an early promotion. What happens in those situations is Christians will say, well, I don't understand why the Lord took them home. I don't understand how come this happened. Weren't they a child of God? Didn't they love God? Weren't they faith people? There's always a key there that you and I don't know about. Don't assume in death that you have all the things figured out.
Amen.
You do well to pay attention to your own life and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And when God warns you, take heed to that warning. He's trying to protect you. You have a direct line,
amen,
to the heavens to tell you this is not the thing to do. And it may not make any sense to you. You may be inconvenienced. You may lose time. You may lose money over something, but it's more important to listen to God. Amen.
Amen.
Say it with me. In his presence, he can give me details that will protect me. How many times did God give his servants secret knowledge that gave them prevailing power in a very bad situation? Amen. He told them exactly what to do, and they were protected. They were delivered. God hadn't changed any. And you and I are under a better covenant, not a worse covenant. Glory to God. Say protection. Number five, say instruction.
Instruction.
Instruction about what to do with your body, with your life, to extend and prosper your life. He can tell you what to eat, what not to eat. Say this with me. He is Lord of the plate.
He is Lord of the plate.
Well, you know, some sub eats that, and that's okay. Or they don't do that, so I must not do that. No, you need to do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Yeah, you may be similar chemically in terms of your human body and your makeup, but you're a little bit different genetically, and you're a little bit different in terms of the components of your body and the characteristics of your body. You need to listen to what? To what the Lord is telling you. And I'm telling you that, stay off this whole bandwagon of we got to do like everybody else or get into judging everybody about what they're doing and what they're not doing. Focus on you. Remember that old saying your mom and daddy used to say, mind your own business. That's one of the things that really frosted a lot of people's pumpkin during the COVID situation because we had HIPAA, but now we have to disclose our personal health. We should either follow HIPAA or get rid of it. Amen. So if somebody comes to you and say, "Yo, what are you doing? What's going on with you? You know, what do you have going wrong with your body?" HIPAA.
Yeah.
What, you're a Christian, so you have a right to know? No, you don't have a right to know.
No.
I mean, you go to a doctor's office and there's 15 forms to fill out for HIPAA.
Yeah.
The person you need to hear from is what? Is the Lord. And when the Lord tells you something is bad, a lifestyle choice is bad, guess what? It's bad for you. And that's not when you go, "Well, Lord, what about them?" No, you are concerned about you, your relationship with Him and living contact with Him. He spoke to you. Stop deflecting. Just say, "Yes, Lord, you're God. I'm not. You must be right about this." I mean, his track record is pretty good. Amen. Number six is inspiration. He is a God that gives you in that secret place, in the living contact, vision and dreams and motivation. And when you pursue Him and you follow what He tells you, it produces prosperity in your life. He is the God of witty inventions and insights and concepts. And all you can do is just download those in His presence. You know that every great thing that anyone ever did, whether they acknowledged God or not, it came from God's own heart and God's own mind. And you have the ability to receive these things and carry them out will prosper you. One of my favorite stories is a man who actually invented, you know, the four-wheel drive concept and drew it all out, you know, and, you know, had this dream that it was going to be a blessing, you know, to those, you know, whoever needed it from the military on down, you know, and he just kind of couldn't get anything, any traction with it. So he stuck it up in his attic and forgot about it for years. And then one day he went to Oral Roberts' meeting and he gave Oral Roberts an offering. He had nothing really left to give, but he gave what he had. And all of a sudden, guess what? In the secret place, say it with me, in the secret place, in his time with God, God told him what? Go back up there and get those plans. And here's what you're going to do with them. Do you know to this day, his estate gets a cut of every four-wheel drive vehicle made in the world? He became the biggest benefactor of Oral Roberts Ministries when he was alive. If he did it for that man, he can do it for you. Some of you have been given great dreams and ideas and visions, and you put them away in an attic yourself. God can tell you when to take those things out. He can show you exactly what to do in such a way that it will bless you, bless the body of Christ. Anybody here interested in being an end time paymaster for the kingdom of God, actually making things happen? You're needed more than ever. A lot of people think, well, you know, if you get excited for God, born again, spirit filled, you should go out there and be a pastor or whatever. Well, yeah, you should be what God's called you to be. But He's also raising up kings out there. Say it, kings. Watch this. Kings that can be trusted to do what they're told to do. They'll get blessed through that avenue of God's presence, and then they'll do what God tells them to do. Does that make sense? You know, there are times when Jerry Savelle would tell these stories about a Budweiser distributor giving him hundreds of thousands of dollars. A dog track owner in Florida gave $7 million to Oral Roberts to pay off medical debt for medical students so they could go overseas and serve without debt around their neck. And the Christian bodies go, "Oh my goodness, you take money, you know, from Budweiser. You take money from a horse track." You know, Somebody win a lotto and then tithe on it. You take that? You'll understand. Money takes on the personality and the character of the person that possesses it. When it's transferred into the hand of a man or woman of God, guess what? It is godly.
Yes, it is.
The wealth of the wicked is laid up for what? The just. But in a lot of cases, you got people out there that God had to tap some of these wackos that made a lot of money. Because either in the body of Christ, people who were blessed wouldn't obey God, or there weren't enough people in the body of Christ blessed to do what they need to do. Well, that's all changing in Jesus' name. And not only that, there are some of you here that got great dreams and visions from God, but you've let them die. They came from God. They shouldn't be stillborn. Can I have an amen? You should trust Him to revitalize that dream in your life. He's just getting started in your life. I'm too old. I'm on the backside of this, or I'm over on this. You know, I can't remember what speaker this past week or two at Southwest Believers going to say it, but you know, you don't have any common sense until you're 70. I mean, you're not even ready to roll yet until you're. And think about that. That's not far. What was Caleb? What was Moses? Think about this. You know, you think about 80-something years old. I'm too tired to mess with 6 million people. These people are crazy. I'm supposed to be sitting on dock fishing, God, don't you know? There is a lot of truth to that, that until we reach a certain threshold, we don't have the wisdom of God to do the things we're called to do. So stop confessing, you're too old. In the eternity of things, you're not even a spring chicken yet. Amen. Look at somebody and say, get over it, you're not old. You just have an old attitude and an old spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Anybody here will be willing for the Lord to restore that thing in the secret place? You talk to Him about it, He's able to give you the idea. He'll give you the breakthrough. Sometimes these things are just, season-based and, a set time-based. And all of a sudden He's able to do this and look what God has done. And then somebody will say, well, that person didn't really pay a price. You look how fast things happen for them. You've been working on this for 50 years, but it happened overnight. I'm an overnight success. No. We're faithful, and guess what? Now you're abounding with blessings. Amen. Glory to God. What number is this?
Seven.
Just checking. Come out of Him, Jesus. Come out. Number seven is Revelation. You need to be in the house of God sitting under the Word. Amen. Under people that are called and anointed to teach it and to preach it. Amen. It's absolutely true. There's something that happens in the corporate anointing that all of us need. And people that say, well, I worship God in nature. Bless God, it doesn't take all that. They're just flat wrong, first of all. It's a command of God to be together. But in your quiet time with God, there is a place where you can receive revelation on the blood, on covenant, on the laws of God, the principles that govern every aspect of your life, every dimension of prosperity. He can teach you. He can give you revelation. And, that's one of the reasons it's so important to read the Word of God. You know, Benny Hinn was talking about this during healing school. And you said Marilyn Hickey actually challenged him big time and asked him, Benny, when's the last time you read the whole Bible through? Mm. She reads it through 3 times a year, every 4 months. And he had to admit that he hadn't really, in a long time, read through the whole of the Bible. And so he started doing this, and he said, it's revolution in my life because I'm seeing things now I've never seen before. He talks about, here's a guy that's gotten, thousands and thousands of people healed. And there were hundreds of people healed in Fort Worth the other day, just supernaturally, instantly. Well, I heard of Benny Hinn this, and I heard of Benny Hinn that. You're listening to the wrong people. You're listening to those that pass on the slander instead of pass on the praise to God.
Amen.
Amen. I said it Sunday morning. I said it again, 99% of what you heard about a lot of these people is absolute made-up nonsense and slander. The fact of the matter is, these are your brothers and your sisters. And if you're going to open up your mouth, speak well of them, bless them, amen. Say it with me, I'm called to bless people. There is no calling of slander. There's no calling of criticism. There is no calling to correct everybody. They're called to bless. Amen. And just to see the power in your personal time with God, there are revelations that should explode every single time you open up that Bible. Amen. That's what? That's the benefit of being born again, spirit-filled, and always teachable. It's a book like no other. Amen. Because it's supernatural. And it's always talking. Amen. And that's why you need to make sure in your time with Him, you spend time talking to Him. Some people say, well, I never hear God speak anything to me. Well, read the Word.
Amen.
I promise you, you'll hear God speaking to you. Now, we don't teach, nor do we believe, that God can't talk to you. Amen. In addition to what the Word of God actually says. Now, listen carefully. What you think you hear from God in your spirit does not have the same authority as what the Word of God itself has.
That's right.
Nothing has a higher authority than the written Word of God.
Amen.
But God does talk to His people, and that doesn't mean they're lunatics or psychos.
No.
Look at somebody and spawn and say, relax, you're perfectly normal if you ever said God spoke to you.
Praise the Lord.
Does anybody here feel like God does talk to them? Yes. Amen. That's the whole premise of what you're hearing tonight. The reality that God talks to you through His Word and He speaks to you, amen, spirit to spirit. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, Scripture says, and that's the part that He lights up. If we're healthy, that's what's going to happen spiritually. And you're going to hear things and receive revelation, and it will excite you.
Yes, it does.
Amen? It will excite you. You get a revelation on giving and God leads you to give the biggest seed you ever gave in your entire life, you should be giddy about that if you have the revelation.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
God calls you to do something that's uncomfortable for your flesh, like go talk to somebody about the Lord, or here's one, go apologize to somebody.
You
your flesh won't like it, but on the inside, you should be giddy. You've heard from God.
Yes.
And He must be getting ready to do something great in your life. He is talking to you about this. He's getting ready to do something amazing in you. Amen. I love it because Paul even prayed this way. That's why I think that people are just, a lot of times you get these doctrines that come from people who aren't spirit-filled. Don't expect people that aren't spirit-filled to embrace what you have received as a spirit-filled people.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's not a minor thing. Around the world, it's very common to love our style of worship, to love our style of casual approach and fellowship approach. But when it comes down to the things of the Spirit, one of the things the devil has very successfully done by robbing people of Spirit baptism, they've been robbed of revelation.
Yeah.
Not just of the things of the Spirit, but the totality of what the Word of God says. Because after all, the Holy Spirit wrote the thing.
Yes, He did.
Yeah. And the author knows what it means. Amen.
Yes.
And so a spirit-filled believer should be receiving regularly in a corporate anointing, but also in your own prayer time, revelation from God. Brother Hagin said it best. He was talking to his class one day and he said, gentlemen, he said, it's the revelation you're excited about that's working for you. When you receive something, get excited about it. Amen. Be joyful. Let me just break this down for you. When you got a revelation, say, I receive a revelation. That's God talking to you.
Yeah.
Opening up your eyes.
Yeah.
Is that worth writing down?
Yes.
If you wake up in the middle of the night, don't say, I'll remember it in the morning. You won't remember it. Write it down.
Amen.
The Lord's talking to you. Amen. Number 8 is expectation. Expectation will always be something that builds in the presence of God. When you're in living contact, vital union with Him, you're going to be expecting. What am I saying here? You've heard a lot about this teaching through the years. The church itself is called Hope Harbor. What happens in His presence as you build on the inside of you a white-hot expectancy for what God has said in His Word. You've heard me talk about this. I didn't come up with this. I received this. It exploded on the inside of my spirit listening to Jerry years and years ago. But he said that the heart is the canvas, the Word is the paint, and the Holy Spirit is the artist. And when you get into His presence, He starts painting some beautiful images on the inside of you. Yes. Expectancy grows. Hope grows on the inside of you. And you need that. Say it, I need that. I heard one speaker say this, that one of the reasons people are miserable is they don't have anything to look forward to. Right. Y'all remember when you were kids and you look forward to what? Christmas. If you're sitting in class, you look forward to it being 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Amen. If it's, if it's the fall, you're looking forward to what? To Christmas. And you're always looking in the natural even. You see how this propels you. But what if you have a supernatural spiritual hope that's propelling you? Say it with me, an eager expectation of a good thing happening in your life. Expectancy is built in His presence.
Amen.
Number 9 is innovation. You could be that one person to solve that problem, to come up with that creative idea, that strategy, that solution. It's not just a dream you need the nuts and the bolts. Not only do you need the nuts and bolts, sometimes you need partnership. Sometimes you need people who have another piece of the pie working with you to get where you're supposed to go. Just because He gave you the dream doesn't mean He doesn't want you to partner with other people like Precious Faith. But you know, you and I can have that innovation. We can have that creativity. We can have, those things that will give us the ability to take that dream and make it a reality. Shout this out. Strategies. And plans. And steps. What do you do next? Anybody here ever wonder, what do I do?
Yep.
Well, you don't have to wonder. You just need to what? Trust in His presence. It will come to you. And it will. Why? Because He's interested in taking these benefits that are derived in His presence and using them to work well-being in every area of your life. People grossly misunderstand the concept of prosperity. You get into His presence, and what is God going to do you? He's going to do something that's going to make you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, are you seeing what I'm saying to you? Physically, financially, relationally prosperous. He will always do that in His presence. Why? He's a blessing-minded God. I said He is blessing-minded. He is not curse-minded. He came down here, got on the cross, so you would be what? Redeemed from the curse. Anybody believe that Jesus went on that cross? Anybody believe that He died on that cross? Anybody believe that He was what? Buried? Anybody believe that He rose again?
Yes.
Anybody believe that He ascended on high? Anybody believe He's coming back?
Yes.
If you believe that, then understand this, that He ripped the power of the curse out of your life.
Amen.
And now He's nothing but blessing-minded towards you. So you get into His presence, I'm telling you this, and is it okay if you go through a stretch of 4 or 5 weeks where you derive nothing but spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing? Is that a good thing?
Amen.
Peace that passes all understanding, the joy of the Lord which is your strength. In every situation, every category of your life, you should not be walking around with joy, and yet you're the one with the joy, and you freak people out because you're so filled with joy, and in the natural, you shouldn't be. Well, it doesn't come from the natural. It comes from a supernatural connection with your God. An infusion of joy has nothing to do with your circumstances. Amen. It's a witness to people. You don't get your joy because everything is perfect in your life.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered if every little thing in your life could be just perfect for just a moment? Right? I mean, everything's great with the parents, everything's great with the grandparents, everything's great with the kids, everything's great with the work, everything's great with everything. Everything's great with the church.
Yeah.
Let me help you out here. You will be playing whack-a-mole all the days of your life. They will never be in alignment all at the same time until you get to the other side. But that doesn't mean you can't have joy. While you're whacking the mole, say, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God. And just keep whacking. You don't have to, you know, lose your joy because all these things keep popping up again.
Yeah.
And add some fun to it. I see you trying to come up again. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Come on, say it. I'm getting whack-a-mo joy right now. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Everything is just perfect. Oh. You don't live in a perfect world. You don't live around perfect people. There's never going to be a time where something is out of order. That's why you need all the benefits that come from the presence of God to bring you back into a place of well-being in that area. Amen. I'd like to tell you that probably everything simultaneously can be just perfect. I can tell you this, if something comes out of whack, you can what? With the wisdom of God, you can put it back in order again. Amen. Innovation is just one of those things. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. If I say praise God, what did you learn in church tonight? Whack-a-mole, whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole. You don't have to go to Chuck E. Cheese to whack-a-mole. I believe I got in my yard, I got some supernatural moles, I think. Yeah. But I found a secret weapon. Cleaning up, you know, mom's things, we found in her car 6 Olin flares. And, you know, roadside flares. My dad's company actually developed the technology for that and sold those for years under that brand of Olin. And what he did when I was a kid, we found the holes, he would stick these flares in different signs and smoke the mole out. Smoke a mole. Look, somebody say, smoke that mole. And then they come out. It worked every single time. I mean, it was a spectacle to see. I mean, at first you just laugh at it. What are you doing? You know, but then all of a sudden, guess what? Those things generate a lot of toxic smoke. And they come out. Amen. You know what? You don't need the Olin flare. You got the presence of God. You got the glory cloud, hallelujah, that can push that stuff out of your life. But if you think everything is going to be simultaneously just perfect in order, you've probably never been a parent. Or married. Everybody say, or married. Anybody here have an absolutely perfect relationship? You never had any issues at all?
Never.
I'd really like to get your autograph. You know, if you come up here, your wife or husband's going to be laughing, right? I'll sign up. That's me, glory to God. In just to kind of tie these all together, when you're in his presence, you elevate your consciousness of God. And what happens is you are able to live beyond just the natural way that everybody else lives. Your perception is going to be different. Everybody else is going to be looking at things in the natural. Your consciousness is going to be a spiritual one. Now, when you divorce yourself from living contact, you strip yourself of the ability to tap into the benefits that would bring you into alignment in terms of well-being in every area of your life. When you divorce yourself from his presence, listen carefully. When you divorce yourself from his word and from his presence, you're going to become more and more dependent as a natural person. You're not going to see things through spiritual eyes. You're not going to have that life flow in you. You're not going to have that supernatural victory and joy. You say, but I'm born again. I'm spirit filled. Amen. I got baptized in water 3 times. If you divorce yourself from his presence, you are not going to be able to have the awareness and the consciousness. You know, there's a big deal right now talking about wokeism. And how many glad that wokeism in this country is dying? But there is a wokeness in God that you need. And when you separate yourself from his presence and his word, you go to sleep, you go to slumbering. The only way you're really awake is when you're actively engaged in your relationship with Him. And there are a lot of Americans, they love God. They're saying this has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with your consciousness. It has to do with what you're receiving in His presence to bring you into a place of well-being. The way you go asleep in the things of God is to cut yourself off. And now you become more awake and more alive to the flesh and to your carnality and not to the way God wants you to live. But you know what? That's a choice. Every person in here can make a quality decision. You know what? I'm going to shore up my time with God.
Amen.
Have a better amen?
Amen.
You better say amen. I only spent 4 or 5 weeks on this.
Amen.
Be ashamed to have to repeat it all. Jesus, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Back into His Word. I think that's a good challenge that Marilyn Hickey gave to Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is you're going to discover things maybe you forgot about, hadn't heard in a long time. Well, Pastor, do I have to read all those baguettes? You know that God can even give you revelation in that?
Yes, He can.
Amen. The first time I, studied Jabez, that's what happened to me. I was reading through, thinking, oh, this is crazy. Look at all this stuff. But how do you understand? It's there by design.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you read about this man named Jabez and hallelujah. But there are other reasons for that to be there, to understand the genealogy, to read through it. Maybe you'll spend more time in other parts of it, but go back to reading it as a whole and not just the parts that you like or are familiar with. Because
yeah.
All of it. Say all of it.
All of it.
All of it is revelation.
That's right.
All of it is the Word of God. So what happens is in His presence, you have the ability to tap into these benefits that when you are in His presence, they will lead you towards one dimension of well-being or another. Sometimes it'll be you seem like you're focusing on the physical part. Sometimes you'll be focusing on the financial part. But how many know that if you're sick as a dog and you've got $1 million in bills, you're not prosperous. Even if you have all the money and all the time in the world, you think you're not, one part of well-being is not what you're looking for. You're looking for consistent, amen, comprehensive well-being in His presence. And, there's so much more that can be said about this. But I would just encourage you that when you see scriptures about seeking His face and seeking the Lord, take them seriously because you unlock things in His presence that people who don't seek Him do not unlock. Which means you can have people in the church that have blocked themselves from things that would help them and other people that are enjoying the benefit of tapping into that revelation by just spending time with Him. So say this with me, the corporate anointing is what I need. But living contact in my own time is also needed. Can you see that? Can you receive that today? Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap and thank Him for it. He blessed your name. Amen. Thank you, Father. We just honor you. Just lift a hand, Lord, tonight and just wait on Him. Just praise Him. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We're so thankful for what you do, what you have bestowed, what you deposit on the inside of us. We thank you, Father God, that your word explodes inside of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that benefits us towards the well-being, God, that you redeemed us to have in your presence. In your presence, we recognize we are works in progress. And in your presence, we can receive the tools and the insight necessary. We just receive it by faith today. Take us where we've never been before. Show us things, God. Help us understand, Father God. May we, like Paul, always operate in a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Lay your hands on somebody near you today. Just pray for them. Father, I pray for my brother, for my sister right now, that God, they walk in these things like never before. Father, you give them personal revelation. If there's something missing in their life, we know that shalom, that peace is nothing missing, nothing broken. There's some dimension of well-being missing in their life, not judgment. You would give them the wisdom. You would show them exactly what needs to be done to walk in victory in that area. And they will be correctable. They will be teachable. They'll receive it from you and they'll be blessed in the doing. And we thank you for it. Go ahead and exercise your authority and your calling right now. You're anointed to bless. Do it right now. Bless them right now. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you with good things. I bless you with revelation. I bless you with life. I bless you with victory. I bless you with healing. I bless you today with overcoming joy. I bless you with financial increase. I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. You are blessed. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Glory to your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, my Father. I want to say it. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I am called to bless. I'm anointed to bless. Get that deep on the inside of you. In this room, a lot of people be called to do a lot of different things, but we will never get away from our calling to bless people.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we don't participate in gossip and slander and criticism and innuendo. That's not what we're called to do. We're of a higher calling, glory to God.